Welcome to the Virtue Podcast. This is Tiffany Velasquez, and I want to start off today by saying Happy Mother's Day to all of you moms out there. This week at church, Kathy Lori, our pastor's wife, wrote a letter to honor moms, and she addressed it like this. She said, Happy Mother's Day to all the women who desire to be godly mothers, to the mamas in the trenches of raising little ones and older ones, toddlers and teenagers, to the empty nesters who are parenting from a distance, to the stepmoms, navigating the mixed emotions of parenting in a blended family, to the mothers of prodigals whose hearts are broken over their children, to the wives who haven't been able to conceive, to the ones who gave up a child for adoption or lost a baby in a miscarriage, to the mothers who have had to grieve the loss of a child, and to the girls who daydream of having a child one day. So with that, to all of you, Happy Mother's Day. I hope you feel seen and loved today, first and foremost by the Lord, and also by all of those who know you. I am coming to you as we have just wrapped up 28 chapters in the book of Acts. Congratulations for those of you that started with us and you're ending with us. That's awesome. Kathy did a wonderful recap last week sharing about all that we have learned throughout the book. If you didn't have a chance to listen to that podcast, I encourage you to pause me and go back and listen to that recap, that conclusion to the book of Acts. Today, I'm going to talk a little bit about the importance of staying connected as we look forward and ahead to this next season, which is summer. And I know we're all looking forward to summer, right? I've been thinking a lot about community. It's such a buzzword. I've been reading books and listening to podcasts and talking to my friends in ministry about the various ways that we can create it and cultivate it and make it impactful and meaningful and lasting. I mean, who would have thought that there would have been so much strategy and planning written about how to have community, how to connect with others? You know, when we're young, those connections just seem so easy and natural. But when we get older, there's more at stake, and we have to be so wise and so intentional with the relationships in our life, right? The truth is, the reality is, that community in general can be found anywhere and everywhere in our world today. As I sat down to write out my notes for this podcast today, I sat at this cute new coffee shop in my city. And as I sat at this long kind of wooden bar that faced up to this huge window looking out to our downtown area, there was a lot of foot traffic this morning. And I couldn't help but people watch as I typed. There were dozens of students from local high schools who were drawing in chalk these murals of famous paintings up and down the sidewalk for an art walk that they were going to have over the weekend. The students were socializing, they were connecting and laughing, they were critiquing each other and learning from one another. They were from all different schools. They didn't all know each other necessarily, but they found community through art. Next door to this coffee shop where I was, there's a new yoga studio, and there were several women walking in together with their mats and their water bottles, and they were going to create some sense of community through working out their bodies. And tomorrow in this same spot, there is going to be a huge bug walk where hundreds of kids were going to be brought together through their love of science, insects, and little crawly things. Really, we can find community over books or gyms or a favorite sport or a favorite hobby or a favorite podcast, okay? Crime podcast, maybe, or the hunt for the perfect coffee or food, anywhere. But nothing is as significant or fulfilling in regards to community for a Christian girl or woman than finding community, those connections, those friendships in a space where we're learning God's word and, most importantly, living it out. That's biblical, gospel-centered community. A community where friendships are made and Christ is at the center. And when it is, the byproduct, the fruit of that will be relationships where you will intentionally and naturally be mutual blessings to one another, encouraging one another, maybe crying together and laughing together, bearing one another's burdens, and doing it all alongside of people from different walks of life with the same goal in mind. This kind of biblical community, I love it because it really breaks down those barriers that the world gives us that kind of prevent prevents friendships from the world's standards, because there's unity in our love for Christ and there's purpose in our relationships. So you have these very diverse relationships with different people from different walks of life and different ages, and it's so beautiful. The book of Acts is a book that highlights the resurrection of Christ, right? It's a story of men and women who took the Great Commission seriously and began, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to spread the gospel to their world. The church in Acts showed us that true blueprint for gospel-centered community. We see believers living life together, reading the Bible together, worshiping together, praying together, and reaching their city together. They're a family now. They're giving of their time. They're giving of their money to support one another. They help other local churches with finances and prayers. They're actively planting other churches. They're raising up leaders to shepherd, to lead, and protect the church. In Acts, we see the foundations of the church and how we should love God and love each other. The early church wasn't perfect. We know that. Acts kind of gave us a glimpse behind the scenes into what could be kind of messy in community, right? We saw in Acts 5 and Acts 6 and Acts 15 where there were evidence of lying and cheating and arguments. We see the church kind of wrestle through what it meant to live in the light of the gospel, what that meant to live out that gospel-centered community. When we look at the early church in Acts, we're confronted with both the beauty and the messiness of gospel community. Right now, where we stand today, we're about 2,000 years removed from that specific time and place of the early church. But our God has not changed. He is the same, right? Yesterday, today, and forever. And he's just as alive and well today as he was then. We have the same God, and we have the same mission. You know, the 120 people who heard that mission and then gathered to pray in the book of Acts, they're no longer with us. We are the people living out the mission of knowing Christ and making him known. We are continuing the story until heaven. We have the same God and we have the same mission. And we also have that very same power that they prayerfully waited to receive. You know, it's been one of the greatest joys of my heart, and I know Kathy's heart, to watch the ways in which so many of you have also, like the early church, pursued that community, those friendships through your Bible study small group. So many of you have tasted it, and you've loved it. It's been beautiful, and you are living it. And as we embark upon this summer season, I want you to take a moment, just a moment, to ask yourself the same question that I have asked myself, and actually we've asked you before. As this summer embarks upon us, as we close the book of Acts, how are you going to continue to support, pray for, and encourage and serve one another in the Lord and in his word? Let me repeat that question one more time. How are you, how am I going to continue to support, pray for, encourage, and serve one another in the Lord and in his word? I love Hebrews 10, 22 through 25, and I love the Message version, the Message translation. It says, "So let's do it, full of belief, confident that we're presentable inside and out. Let's keep a firm grip on the promises that keep us going. He always keeps his word. Let's see how inventive, how creative we can be in encouraging love and helping out, not avoiding worshiping together as some do, but spurring each other on, especially as we see the big day approaching." I love that translation. Yes, our formal study through the book of Acts has come to a close, but let's try and not look at this as the end of our small group season, but as a season where we can, as this verse just says, to see how inventive, how creative we can be in encouraging, continuing on, encouraging love and helping out, not avoiding worshiping together as some do, but spurring each other on. Now, do not get me wrong here. The summers are a time to rest. They're a time for us to catch our breath, to spend time with our kids who are probably out of school. Time to take road trips and weekends away. I know how busy we all are. I know that. And I know, and we recognize, and we thank you for the level of commitment that you've had towards your group and what that investment has looked like for you as a group member and even a group leader. I am right there with you. I lead a small group of young mamas. I'm a wife and I have 3 children, 2 at the age where their sports and social lives could be a full-time job in and of themselves, which I love, and a 2-year-old who is very much a 2-year-old. I'm looking forward to resting this summer. I am. But not at the expense of neglecting the fellowship the Lord has for me and has placed before me. And I hope and pray that the same is true for you. You know, some of you may want to continue on in your group in the same way, in the same pattern that you have all through this last season. On a weekly basis, you love it. You can't imagine going without a weekly source of study and learning in your group. But some of us may opt for kind of a different routine, maybe a more creative, flexible routine. That's okay. There are some less intense ways for you to connect this season while still allowing you the break and time that you're wanting and needing. And so today, I just want to share with you a couple of those ways. And let me say, before I list some of these options, you might find yourself right now in a group and your group is taking a break throughout the summer, but you know that you need and you want to stay connected through the summer. That is not a problem at all. We have several groups that are continuing on through the summer, and we at the Virtue Office can help you find one of those groups, or maybe you can even start your own group, right? Or maybe your group wants to break up into kind of smaller pods because you all want to do something a little different. You know what? There's flexibility in this season, and there's beauty in that. So one of the ways you can stay connected throughout the summer is by participating in our Mentoring Matters ministry. We have a curriculum that we have written here at the church that aligns with the Titus 2 scripture, right? And we have a curriculum for married women, for women who are desiring or preparing to be married, one for moms and grandmas, and one for just, hey, I want to learn how to become a godly woman. And hey, you can be a leader to this type of group, or if you're looking for a mentor, again, we can help arrange that for you as well. This ministry, we just need to know, if you choose to do Mentoring Matters, we just need to know a little bit ahead of time so we can order the books for the specific course that you're planning to take. But that's a great way to grow in the summer. Another option are the Sunday sermon discussions. Did you know that every week, we have curriculum with questions that are based on Pastor Greg's Sunday message, and they're right there in Planning Center every single week. And there's no homework involved with that. You can get together with your group and you can just talk about what he talked about in the Sunday message and how that ministered to you. We also have a few recommended book studies that have discussion guides. You can access that online at our Virtue website, or you can ask your Bible study leader. We also have a resource called Right Now Media, where we have this curated list of Bible studies and options, videos and Bible studies that you can choose from. And another less formal way of connecting could be scheduling, maybe ahead of time, maybe this week or next week, a couple dates where you can get together with your group to do something fun, but also be intentional about your fellowship at that time. So maybe it's a day at the beach and you do a prayer walk, or maybe it's a hike and you meet together for a meal afterwards, or maybe you just meet for dinner on a weeknight at your favorite restaurant. Or maybe you have someone in your group that's willing to host your group for a meal. That would be awesome. Or maybe you want to do something with your hands. You want to learn something. Maybe there's a craft or a recipe and you can put it out to your group and say, hey, does anybody have a real good recipe that we can all do together, or a craft that we can all do together? And as you do, you're connecting and fellowshipping. Or maybe it's as simple as forming this text thread where you share your prayer requests and praise reports, and maybe every once in a while you share a scripture to encourage the women in your group. I have a few of these going right now, and really at all times, and they're a huge blessing, especially when there's this crisis or maybe a need arises and I can text my group of girls and say, hey, can you pray? Or hey, there's a need, a practical need. How can we as a group get together and help meet that need? Or maybe it's just a few Zoom groups or FaceTimes together where you say, okay, we're going to, on this date, we're all going to hop on Zoom and connect and catch up and pray together. You know, that Zoom community, I think it sometimes gets a bad rap, but there can be real community. There can be real ministry that takes place. Our Zoom leaders can attest to that, I am sure. your group has the flexibility to really decide for yourself how often and where and when and what you choose to do to stay together, to stay connected. So there's also a couple ways in which we as a Virtue Ministry are going to help you stay connected if you can attend. So I'm encouraging you now to mark your calendars on July 9th at our Maui campus, on July 12th at our Irvine campus, and July 13th at our Riverside campus. We are going to be having what we call the Good Things Conference. And this is an event where we have some of the wise, seasoned women from our church share practically on super relevant topics that we as women are facing and seasons that we're going through, such as marriage and parenting and budgeting. And what does it look like to have a consistent quiet time with the Lord? How to navigate a blended family. We're going to talk about purity and modesty and things like that. We're also going to have some fun booths and food beforehand. So I want to encourage you now, mark your calendars, grab a friend, grab your daughter, your granddaughter, your sister, and make plans to join us. And with that, we're always looking for those that are willing to serve at these Virtue events, as well as at Harvest in general, really. Serving as a group is a great way to stay connected and to exercise the gifts that God's given you. For the Good Things Conference, for example, we need hospitality volunteers. Also, for the children's ministry at Harvest, we have VBS coming up soon. And that is a ministry that touches literally thousands of kids' lives. And so many of these kids come to know Christ in that ministry. In fact, I gave my life to Christ at VBS. And so I am so impressed with and hold such a special place in my heart towards those that decide to serve at Vacation Bible School. How about trying serving together on Sundays as greeters, a hospitality team? Maybe it's once or twice a month, but you're doing it together and you're growing and you're fellowshipping with a purpose. There are really so many options of ways to stay connected. All in all, we want to encourage you to keep going. Keep that godly, gospel-centered fellowship you have right now. And you know what? If you're listening today and you're not connected in some way, it would be our honor to help you get connected. Again, you can call us, email us, or go to our website, which is virtue.harvest.org, and we would love to help you get plugged in. We're also going to continue on in our podcast, much like this one, throughout the summer. We're going to take time to touch on more real-life practical topics from a biblical perspective. I'm so excited. And just to give you a little sneak peek of next week, Christy Robillard, you all know Christy, she's going to be sharing a message with you called What Matters Most, and you don't want to miss it, so tune in next Sunday. I want to close with a passage of scripture from Paul as he's speaking to the Galatians. It's Galatians 6:9, and he says, "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we don't lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith." God bless you, girls. I hope you feel encouraged and spurred on, and we are praying for you this season. God bless you.